he feels that this is a neurotoxin. And what's interesting is that DMSA is considered a neurotoxin in Europe and therefore has not been approved for use. Okay? Let me explain the theory and how it was explained to me. And Boyd actually told me, he said, just go back and look at your biochemistry test. So, for those of us that are familiar with biochemistry, remember the Krebs cycle, citric acid cycle? The largest substrate in the citric acid cycle is succinic acid. DMSA stands for dimercaptosuccinic acid. The only difference between dimercaptosuccinic acid, i.e. DMSA, and succinic acid, is two sulfhydro groups versus two hydroxyl groups. So, when you introduce DMSA into the biological system, just because they're so morphologically identical to each other, even minimum, you're looking at a 50% competitive inhibition, meaning that the body will pick up half of it, thinking it's succinic acid. But by doing so, it inhibits the FADH2 electron transport chain further down the chain, all the way down to ATP, and actually causes, that's one reason that I believe some of these kids have that flaccid appearance. You guys know what I'm talking about, the flaccid appearance? Children that have been treated with DMSA, they always have that kind of flaccid, droopy-eyed kind of look. And when you take them off it, they just become wild wackos. Right? It's because that succinic acid, the DMSA is actually inhibiting the FADH2. I'll just read it. DMSA would most likely act as an inhibitor of the enzyme in the citric acid cycle that uses succinic acid as a substrate. This would result in DMSA actually acting as a competitive inhibitor. Everybody know what I mean by competitive inhibitor? Because they look so much alike, they gotta compete against each other. competitive inhibitor of succinic acid in the term of these to a slowing down of or inhibition of the citric acid cycle. Succinic produces FADH2, which is directly coupled to the electron transport chain, leads to ATP production. The competitive inhibition of this succinic acid by DMSA will thus eventually result in an inhibition of ATP production, leading to decreased energy utilization, causing a significant burden and variability of the physiological system to function correctly. Issues of blood-brain barrier, protein structure, and total mercury reservoir. There was a doctor from Canada asking a question about the DMSA versus DMPS, and also asking about the mercury issue. This is the mercury, how it's bound to the protein issue. Proteins are nothing more than long chains of amino acids that kind of ball up on each other, okay? But it's actually, all it is a, if you could take a protein and stretch it out, it would be like a chain of amino acids. For it to be morphologically active, it needs to be in its balled up structure, like a ball of yarn. And the way it maintains that structure is with sulfhydro groups. These sulfhydro groups are what hold the protein together. Mercury binds to sulfhydro groups. It's all in the sulfhydro groups. So, when we come in with something like TDDMPS, we are only getting to the sulfhydro group that is on the terminal end of the protein. So, if this was the body reservoir of mercury, we are only getting to the top little sliver. That's all we're getting to. We can't get to the other sulfhydro groups that are within the internal structure of the protein because the chelator can't go there. If you could theoretically go into the protein structure and pull out the mercury of those sulfhydro groups, that's a great thing. However, you disrupt the sulfhydro groups, which causes protein denaturing, right? The sulfhydro groups break, the morphology of the protein structure changes, it unravels. That's why British amyloidocyte is a great chelator, but 20% of people die when they use it, because that's one reason it's not used in clinical medicine. It was developed for as an anti nerve agent substance. The point is that we go in, we deplete the portion, the reservoir that we can get to, and 48 hours later, that mercury dissipates out, diffusion, high concentration gradient to low concentration gradient, and then it gets dispersed back into that reservoir. We keep on coming in and cleaning it out. Come in, clean it out. That's all we're doing. We can't get into it, but we do know that the body has a tendency to equilibrate, homeostasis. It'll spread out and evenly distribute. So what we're doing is effectively getting into the area that we can get into on a continuous basis, and we pull it out. This is a crucial thing for everybody to understand. Is anybody that doesn't understand this? Yes?
I don't. Are you saying that the mercury is breaking the sulfhydryl bond when it binds, or is it not? If the sulfhydryl is holding it, the quaternary structure, and the mercury comes in, will it break that bond or not?
It has the potential of breaking that bond, especially if it's in the internal part of the protein. What I'm saying is that the terminal end of the protein structure, the sulfhydryl group that's hanging off that terminal end, we can easily get to that. And that's what we're pulling off. And as we pull it off, the body's tendency is to diffuse from a higher gradient to a lower gradient. The mercury gets dissipated, the mercury gets redistributed. That redistribution reaccumulates the mercury into that reservoir that we can access, and we come back in and clean it out.
That I understand. I know it's kind of a theory thing, but if you're breaking a sulfhydryl group,
you can't get into the protein structure. That's the whole point. You're not breaking anything. You can't get in there. The DFPS won't get in there.
No, the mercury I'm talking about.
Mercury will get in there, but mercury doesn't break the sulfhydryl bond. Mercury binds to the sulfhydryl group.
Okay.
Can we have all the questions be up at the mic so everyone can hear them? And
okay, that was my fault. I asked if anybody didn't understand. I didn't know what a doctor would have asked.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I'm insulting myself. All right. Okay, so the protein structure, if anybody's got a question, ask afterwards and I'll get an update. The total mercury reservoir is the key. We want to deplete the total mercury reservoir. It's over time. Just because you go in there with an IV treatment, we pull off the mercury, we see the mercury level going down, we think everything's okay. You remember, with care, right? Got it down, then we added glutathione, we start pulling out more, right? So it's a slow but steady process because there's so much mercury tied up in our system. Thimerosal, I don't think that there's anything here that I need to tell you except that people have asked some strange questions. Dr. Bouchard, are you against vaccines? Am I against vaccines? You know, Dr. Timpany gives some really good arguments against vaccines. I don't know enough about vaccines except that you're giving an attenuated virus in a base of ethylmercury, 1,000 times more destructive than the second most toxic substance known to man. Ethylmercury is 1,000 times more destructive than inorganic mercury. It's ethylmercury. Now we put an attenuated virus in there, and then the researchers like Dr. Wakefield that have shown that there's a problem with virus. Well, why do you think they have a problem with the virus? We just suppressed their immune system and gave them an attenuated virus. For God's sake, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out to set up house there. Right? They couldn't get rid of the mercury. They couldn't get rid of the mercury. The mercury was in the system. It ruined their immune system, and then the virus sets up house. So Dr. Wakefield, what he found is exactly right. He's 100% right. Only part is he missed the boat is why it got set up there. It's because of mercury. It's a very powerful immunosuppressant. So, I don't think he missed the boat. I think he's aware of that now. But the point is, he is exactly right what he found with the virus. So, let's talk about am I against vaccine for a second and for you guys. Let's discuss the political aspect here, okay? I've already talked about hepatitis before, I think. I may even talk about it today, but can I have a show of hands of doctors here again, please? Okay. So I only want the doctors to answer this, all right? Because I'm afraid that the parents already know this, but I just want to see how the doctors I'll do anything for a plug, won't I? All right. Hepatitis B. What patient population does hepatitis B affect?
Sexually promiscuous IV drug users.
Sexually promiscuous and IV drug users. Is that correct? Anybody want to oppose that? Okay. There's one other patient population that he missed. Healthcare providers. Because we're IV drug users and we're prostitutes, right? No, because we're exposed to those people, right? So you're absolutely correct. IV drug users, sexually promiscuous, and healthcare providers. Okay. How often, again for the doctors, how often traditionally is a hepatitis B vaccine good for? How often do you need to get a booster? After the initial 3? 10 years. Did the doctor answer that? Okay. The doctor answered. Make sure your doctor can answer. Alright, so we got 10 years for a booster. We got all the questions answered. Now, here's going to be a tough one for the doctors now. What is the primary route of excretion of mercury in the normal biological system? gracious, listen to that. He's getting everything right. He's on a roll. Now, how long does it take for the biliary? I'm sorry, I'm making your life hard because I'm moving around so much. Okay, I'll stand right here. How long does it take for the biliary tract in a neonate, from the date of birth, how long, how many days, weeks, or months, or years does it take before the biliary tract is mature enough to function to excrete mercury?
Only 6 months.
Close, 1 year. So I'm setting you guys up now. Are you getting this at all? All right. Now we got a little baby that's born of a mother, 1 out of 8 chance that he is already mercury toxic because the mother is toxic, right?
Right.
The mother, when a mother is carrying a child, she's shunning her entire nutrient supply to the baby. Mercury goes with that. So now we got a child that's born mercury toxic, and we give him a hepatitis B vaccine on the day that they're born. And then we do it again at 3 months. And then we do it again at 9 months. And in this hepatitis B vaccine is a substance that is 1,000 times more destructive than the second most destructive element known to man. So are we truly worried that our newborn babies, before they turn 10, will become an IV drug user, a prostitute, or a doctor? For you doctors out there, it kind of makes me a little uncomfortable when the category is 3, IV drug users, prostitutes, and doctors. And it's kind of... I guess everybody understands my point here, right? What's the rationale? Give me, in one word, somebody tell me why this happens. Just one word.
Money.
Money, that's it. So I'm not against vaccines, but I am against the indiscriminate use of vaccinating unnecessarily a patient population that is already having a problem eliminating mercury out of their system. Actually, I have a problem introducing any type of toxin into any type of biological system. Problems with mercury, prevalence of metal toxicity. This is the North Carolina Medical Board decided to dance with me, and after the dance is completed, North Carolina is a great place to practice medicine right now. But the point here is that there's no controversy. We collected all that information that was predominantly from North Carolina. There is no controversy about this issue. The failure of others to recognize facts does not change the truth. All right? Here is a tape that we did for heavy metal toxicity, the hit killer, to inform patients. It's part of the Know Your Options series. Dr. Wilkinson, this is what we were talking about earlier. Dr. Imam knows as well. We're doing a new one that's coming out. There's a couple other ones already, but there's a new one coming out called Autism, the Misdiagnosis of Our Future Generations. Because I haven't proven it yet, but I believe there are only 3 commonalities among these children, besides them being mercury toxic and having an impaired detoxification pathway. These children are incredibly bright. They are incredibly intelligent. I'll tell you very quickly, my youngest brother, to his face, I'd always tell him he's an idiot, but he was the number one law school graduate from the number one law school in the country, Stanford Law, last year. His IQ is 189, 3 points higher than Einstein's. And of course, you know, he sometimes gets all cocky. He says, well, I was the number one law student from the number one law school in the country. And I said, yeah, but you're talking about a lawyer. I mean, what is that? That's a big thing. But what's interesting is that when he was a baby, I was 9 years old, and I remember I was looking at my son. He was on the floor on a big mat, laying there, looking up at the ceiling. We have these 18-foot-high ceilings, and there was a fan. And he was watching this fan and just watching it and watching it, and I'm watching it. Anybody notice how the children that have this problem are fascinated with oscillation? Raise your hand if you've noticed that. All right, raise your hand if you haven't noticed it. All right, do you agree? When I saw that with my son, it hit me like a ton of bricks. My youngest brother, when he was a baby, did the exact same thing. He was the strangest child because all he could do was draw a circle on a piece of paper and he was mesmerized for hours. Hours. Just think about it for a second. A circle. What is unique about a circle?
Infinity.
Infinity. There's no beginning, there's no end. And yet, I can pick it up. It's finite. No beginning, no end, it's infinite, and yet you can pick it up. You can hold it. For a highly, now some people said they're going, like, this guy's really whacked out, but think about it for a second. From a highly evolved cognitive, an intellectually superior being at an early on age, that is a fascinating thing, a circle. These children are brilliant. I have children that can't speak, but they're reading music. My nurse practitioner, she's got a grandchild with autism. At the age of 6, he started coming to me. Never spoken a word. In 3 months, the kid's learning Spanish, German, and Japanese. Japanese and German, they're just a tough language. They're incredibly brilliant. Incredibly brilliant. I believe that the same allele that defines raw intelligence is the same allele where there's a polymorphism occurring secondary to the mercury that creates this impaired detoxification issue. It's affected. The impaired detoxification is somewhere on the same allele, on the same gene that defines intelligence. I don't know. That's for the genetic researchers to figure out. Right before I went up to speak at a conference, this was at the IAACN, I got a standing ovation. It was my first one, which is very, very humbling, but it's also very intimidating because when some people are standing up and clapping for you, and I think that actually happened last week again, it's kind of strange that if you kind of stand there, now what do I do next? You know, it's a very intimidating thing. And I've always said, I've always felt that it's you that need to be clapped for because you are the ones who haven't taken no for an answer from your pediatricians, from your family, from your loved ones who mean well but don't believe, they think you're crazy because you think that this is something that can be treated. You're the ones that really deserve that. This parent, I got permission from her, Joe Pike, she's the president of the National Autism Association. She sent me this email 10 minutes before I went on to present. I'd forgotten my USB key. I went back up to my room and there was an email there. I'll just read it. Just a little more encouragement. She was encouraging us because we came under unbelievable attack from the medical community, from people that were like the Dan group and who now want to use my name on the position statement. And there's even more things now, very negative things being said. But you know what? I really don't care because the only thing that matters is children are getting better. That's all I care about. And I have no agendas. I tell everybody, hey, use whatever you want to use. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm only here because I made a promise to God. Once you make a promise to God, you don't renege on that. That is not a smart thing to do. So I continue to talk. My only requirement is, and I've told Dana and everybody else, I don't want anybody to be charged to come to hear me speak on this subject. Believe me, I charge a lot when I lecture, but not for this subject. I'll never charge for this subject. Just a little more encouragement. Hunter's been doing TDDMPS for almost 2 weeks now. We're already starting to see big things, and he's now dry at night. Hunter's one of the toughest cases, and others like him are also responding. This is what it's all about. Nothing else matters but giving these kids a shot in the future. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Joe Pike. The reason I put this email up is because at that point, it was a pretty low day for me because I had been, there had been a number of negative things said. And I guess in a way, I really don't care what people say, but it still makes a difference what it sometimes hurts your feelings if people, you know, think that you're trying to do the right thing and people have a contorted into different things. But these type of emails, and we get hundreds of emails. I mean, I've gotten hundreds of emails. At the Dan conference, I was kissed by more women. I mean, it was really an experience. And people offering to buy me houses and cars. And, you know, look, just take care of your child. That's all the reward that I need. And the treatment speaks it for itself. I mean, that's all I can say. I can't say anything more about that. I'm done basically with my presentation, but I want to show a couple of videos, just some real short videos that kind of bring these points home. Has everybody over here seen the University of Calgary video on mercury? How many people have not seen it? Okay. So I'm going to play these three videos. Each one is about 3 to 4 minutes long, and then I'll be happy to entertain all the questions that you may have. Can I get these lights in?
Yeah.
Is the voice on this?
I'm going to have to bring the mic up to that. And there's 3 of them, so in like 10 to 12 minutes start. Come over here to line up.